Should we move towards a cashless society? Interesting question. There's the technology, the innovation. There's the liquidity of having online currencies versus a physical currency that is compelling. You can have things like blockchain and have different kinds of Bitcoin. Should we do it? Let's talk about that today. Welcome to How to Build a Tent. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you for listening to the show, sharing the show, commenting, subscribing, all of those things. Really appreciate it. Thank you for all of you who are subscribers and supporting us. You can go over to Fight Laugh Feast Network, flfnetwork.com. Put an HGBT in the memo field. You'll get a sweet mug like the one right there. And you'll get tons of other great benefits. I hope to see you at the conference. Thank you for everyone who supports us. We proclaim the Lordship of Jesus every area of life. I just realized I'm wearing my Fight Laugh Feast shirt for those of you that are watching on YouTube. All right. Cashless. Oh, I should just throw this out here. I don't feel like I don't throw it out here as much as I used to, but you can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com, or you can find me on all the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. Love to hear from you. Love getting questions, getting pushback, topic suggestions, where you are. If you're doing the 250, making 250, which was my goal to get 250 of you to start businesses making $250 in revenue a month this year. Just revenue, not profit, just revenue. I think it's a reasonable goal. And the point of that was just to get into the motions of it, which I think, that goal started pre the CV that's going around. And the CV is just proving more than ever that we need to have multiple streams of income to be free and not beholden to any one employer. Can I get an amen and hallelujah if you are the Pentecostal type? That's my hallelujah. I don't know. Is that what you do in Pentecostal churches? It's been so long now that I'm going to a Reformed Presbyterian church that never closed during COVID, which I love, by the way. If you're in Central Florida and looking for a church, can't highly recommend my new church, Trinity Presbyterian, enough. I know I'm Baptist going to a Presbyterian church. What has become of me? All right, let's get into it. So this is an interesting topic because I love technology. I love innovation. I love moving forward. I love the idea of it in and of itself. Like, I love the thought that I don't have to worry about change anymore. I don't have to worry about physical currency, the dirtiness of it, how filthy it is, and the germs. And I just like the idea of the simplicity of a credit card or using my phone or even just making trades and doing things on my computer, transferring money on my computer. I really like it. It's very convenient. It's very efficient. It's very all of the things that you could think of. But there is one problem that people don't consider. Well, some people don't consider. Some people do consider this is the sin problem. And this is the thing where a system like communism or things like that, when theory could sound good, not that necessarily stealing from people, but hey, everyone's doing something and everyone gets, to each according to their own ability, to their own need or whatnot or whatever. Yeah, it sounds all rosy and whatnot, except that, well, we're a bunch of sinners and we take advantage of the system. And this is my opinion. And remember, I think as conservatives and individuals like myself, is we are the progressives in technology and innovation, that we are conserving the principles that allow for innovation, that allows for technologies like Bitcoin and blockchain to happen. It's the liberals, the progressives that want to stifle. They want to stifle innovation. They want to stifle technology and advancements. Look no further than California and AB5 and how they're trying to get rid of Uber, get rid of Lyft, damaging the company, damaging the drivers, damaging the consumers that use that service. And that, you know, you don't get much more progressive or left wing than California. So I'm all about it. But this is the thing that you have to remember is, and this is my stance on it, is a cashless society is as dangerous as a gunless society in America. A cashless society is as dangerous as a gunless society in America. And you might be saying, well, that seems pretty safe. If there was no guns, we would be all safe, right? Well, I'm not saying no guns, like that the government wouldn't have guns, because, you know, they're always going to have guns. The government's always going to have guns. They're always going to have that. But if the citizenry, the 230, what is it, or maybe there's even 300 million guns. I think there's more guns are equal to the amount of guns as there are people in the country of the United States, for those of you listening around the world. And the reason we have the Second Amendment is not for hunting, is not even for protection against criminals, against people that would enter our homes, although it is very useful for that as well. But it's specifically to protect us from the tyranny that we are now experiencing from our government. And cash, in a monetary sense, in an economic sense, is a deterrent from tyranny in the financial sector, in the economic sense, as well as guns are in the physical sense. See, guns are used to deter tyrants physically. If the government wanted to take over and be tyrants, well, at least this was the theory. I don't even know if we would put up a fight anymore, looking where we're at right now in 2020. But the idea was, if you had an armed citizenry, that tyrants wouldn't be able to rule and take over and ascertain power, because the citizenry would revolt and we would be able to use guerrilla tactics and all those things, and we would be able to defend and to remove any tyrant that tried to take over and ruin the Republic of the United States of America. Well, obviously, I don't think we have the fortitude, the resolve, or the foundation. Pick your words. I mean, any of those virtues, we sure don't have any of them. Just look at where we are at today. But so does the money. So does physical cash do the same thing. And this is what I mean by that. If we give up the, at least the fallback, like, I'm not even saying we shouldn't use currency, online currency. I'm not even saying that you shouldn't transfer money online, that you shouldn't invest online. Obviously, I do those things. I'm not saying you shouldn't have Bitcoin, even though I don't have those things. I think it's very a speculative market, but I honestly just I've done all my research in the technology from the blockchain aspect of it and the utilization of that. I haven't done too much in the currency. I just know it goes on some wild roller coasters. But I'm not even saying that we shouldn't do those things. What I'm saying is the danger is not having the fallback of actual cash. And you might be saying something to the effect of, well, it's not worth anything anyways. It's fiat currency. Absolutely. Anything is a fiat currency. If you think about it, my position is even gold is a fiat currency. It's only worth, and except unless there's some actual practical applications for using gold, there may be some, like, I don't know, somewhere that use them in computers or something. But as a currency, as a form of currency, gold is just another rock. I mean, it doesn't have any more intrinsic value than cotton squares that we call dollar bills. I'm not saying it from that perspective. But what I'm saying is that the government can do a lot more manipulation to an online currency than when you have physical dollars. And if we are getting to a place where we don't trust our government, I know, imagine that. Imagine getting to a place where we're skeptical about those in authority. And you think about things like Obama administration and Hillary Clinton spied on the Trump campaign. That's not conspiracy theory. That's factual. That's exactly what happened. And they manipulated the courts. They manipulated documents. They manipulated the FBI, the CIA, and other countries' intelligence platforms too. The Five Eyes, they'd call them, which is the alliance that English-speaking countries have. And they spied on him. And think about how they ruined General Flynn's life. They manipulated the evidence. And then you think about Mueller and the Mueller investigation and how they froze out they locked out their phones, which made them delete and they erased or whatever they did. See, there's a sin problem that's going on. And think about all the spying that they're doing on us and all the NSA work and all those different things. Do you really want to trust the government to be honest and faithful with respecting your bank accounts that are all online? See, today we have individual banks. We can go and get cash and pull it out. But what happens when you don't have that ability anymore? What happens when the government decides to charge negative interest rates? We don't have cash to pull out that money. And it's either going to be invested, you have to spend it, or you're going to have it sit there and the government's going to take money from your savings account. Like the opposite of what you would do earning interest in a savings account. So if there's like a 2% interest rate, you'd make 2%. I mean, that's oversimplistic. That's not how much you would actually make. But let's just say you got 2% on your earnings for the year, $1,000, you would get $2 back. So savings accounts are so miserable. right. Yeah. 10%, 200. Yeah. $20. If you had $1,000, you had $20. It's a little better. So it would be the opposite. You would lose $20. If you had a negative 2% interest rate, you would put $1,000 in, and then at the end of the year, you would have $980 left. And today, if that happens, you can pull it out in cash. You can pull your $1,000 out immediately. But what happens if we don't have cash and the government decides to, I don't know, institute that negative interest rate? Oh, it's happened everywhere else in the world. Or what happens when the opposition or the government decides they don't like what you're talking about and they spy on you like they did Trump? And then they just go one step further and they freeze your bank accounts and you can't pull any money out. The fallback of having cash is as important as owning guns. And we need to remember that. We need to remember the context of where we live. We need to understand the times that we live in, that there is a sin nature, and that we as Americans especially were given this government, were handed over this responsibility to have a skepticism of the government for these very reasons. And I'm fearful that we are not understanding that, not realizing that, and are going to continue to push for a cashless society. And that can be one of the biggest mistakes that we would ever make. And that's saying something nowadays. Tomorrow we got an interview. I'm really excited about it. Can't wait to talk to you about that. Really exciting new business model, if you want to call it that, church model. Integrating those two things. I'm really excited about our guests. Do not miss it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless.